This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
I am surrounded by fur. That is Drunk on Your Love, Brett Eldridge on FM 106. And in the studio with me is the biggest bunny that I've ever seen, along with the guy who's helped get him big, and that's Rich Henry. Hello, Rich.
How you doing, John?
It is a pleasure to have you in here today. The thing that I'm most amazed, you came in and just like you had your little puppy carrier, and there's a rabbit that filled it up. How much does a little red weigh there?
He's about an 11-pound bunny.
About 11-pound bunny.
Yeah.
If we were on TV, well, he'd be on his best behavior and smiling. He is on his best behavior right now. Let me ask you how... I want to know so much about you. I'm going to be like a little kid and be all over the place, but here's what I'm going to ask first. How on earth did this rabbit ranch get started?
Well, what happened with the bunny part of it, our youngest daughter, when she was 20, got a bunny around Easter time.
Okay.
And she was living in a single-bedroom apartment, and she told us about wanting to get this bunny. We said, no, Emily, get a cat. You know, you give it food, water, and litter, and you can leave for 3 days. So about a week later, we find out she got this little bunny.
She got a bunny, okay.
Got a bunny. It's supposed to have been a female bunny. So 2 weeks later, and we knew she wouldn't have time for the first one, she goes back and she gets a second bunny for companionship. That was a female.
Okay.
So 3 months later, one morning, she notices all this fur in with the two bunnies. The first litter was mine. So she told us about it, and we said, get the father fixed. Well, procrastinator. Second litter came. Get the father fixed. Procrastinator. And we told her to begin with to get a cat. And the third litter's barn, she finally gets the father fixed. And on top of it, she gets a cat. Well, 3 or 4 weeks later, another litter came.
Oh.
Because by the time the father got fixed... he had played around with mom, and the fourth litter was born.
Oh, my.
So she had all these bunnies in a single-bedroom apartment and was freaking out. So one day I went down to her place. I said, I'm going to confiscate your bunnies because she wasn't taking care of them the way she should. So I built a nice thing for them up at my place. And about a week later, brought them up, and the rest is history.
That was the beginning of it.
That was the beginning, but not the end.
No, certainly not.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, you brought them up to your place, and your place is what?
Well,
because it didn't start out as a bunny ranch, right?
No, it didn't. When we first started out, it was called Henry's Old Roosity Six Emporium.
Oh, okay.
And... for the last 28 years, we've done license and title service for the state of Illinois, and I notarized things and been an insurance agent. And I was just basically using it for that, but I'd found out we were on Historic 66. So I thought, well, we started getting travelers coming in. So I started getting some little souvenir knickknacks and selling them. And just slowly but surely, it started developing. And in 99, when I confiscated these bunnies from my daughter... I decided to change it to Henry's Rabbit Ranch. And another reason for that is I drive Volkswagen Rabbits. And I'd had quite a few in 99. So the two kind of complemented each other.
Since I had not been there yet, and Mike Niehaus came in earlier today and he said, have you ever been down in Texas and seen the Cadillac Ranch? And I said, I've seen pictures, but I've never been down to Texas. Texas is one of the states I've never been to. And he said, well, you need to go to the Rabbit Ranch and see what Rich has got. So what has Rich got?
Well, what Mike's referring to there, because a year or two ago, he stopped in with one of his grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I'll strip a Volkswagen Rabbit for parts in that. To where you get down to all that's left is the shell. So what I do at that point, I don't bury them complete in the ground. I cut them in half with a sawzall, and I set them on top of the ground, but they appear to be in the ground.
Okay.
And after you get grass grown up around them a little bit, you can't tell the difference. So that's what Mike was talking about.
Okay. So, all right. Well, so you got a rabbit ranch and you have a rabbit farm. Okay, they're growing out of the ground. That's awesome. Now, let me ask you, you mentioned you have travelers, and we're going to get to this, but I'm going to touch on this one more time before we break here. The travelers, when did that start? Did they just start coming out of the blue before you started advertising about it?
Oh, yeah. Back even in 93, 94, occasionally somebody would stop in. And I wasn't really even doing much at the time. And I thought, this is kind of unusual. So both my wife and myself grew up in 66. Her in Illinois and me in St. Louis. And it was just kind of something that I did a trip out to California in 93 on church business. Going out and back, I would do 66 in different parts. And it just kind of spurred my interest. And when these travelers started coming in, I thought, well, it's probably just a fluke. After a while, it'll die out. But they kept coming in more and more every year. And then in 2006, when the movie Cars came out, that really got things going, and it's been hopping ever since.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk about some of those travelers and some of the experiences you've had. Rich Henry, our guest from Henry's Rabbit Ranch, along with Lil Red. More in a bit. Yeah, we got our good friend Rich Henry from Henry's Rabbit Ranch down on Route 66. Rich, one of the things that I wanted to touch base with you on, obviously, like you said a moment ago, you have tourists who come by, people traveling Route 66, and the number of visitors has grown. How about the international visitors? I'm really curious because I hear there's just more and more of those all the time.
Yeah, we estimate that probably 70% of the travelers coming in are international. And it wasn't always so. I'd say in the last 8-10 years, maybe it crossed that 50% mark. But the same thing at that time, our economy kind of nosedived. And that helped their dollar, whatever country they're in. They could actually come over here cheaper than traveling somewhere in Europe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And this time of the year, we see more what I call local people from the U.S. The last 3 weeks, because of spring break, we saw a lot of mom and dads with their kids just going out maybe on a 300-mile trip. But the international element, these people are just obsessed with 66.
Well, you know, of the whole run from Chicago to L.A., it seems, and I know that Oklahoma does a good job of promoting. I don't think Kansas so much, but I do know that, of course, it's not that much in Kansas. Yeah. But I do see that period from Bloomington or, you know, north down through St. Louis. Our area right here, we have more to look at, it seems like, on that ribbon than a lot of us. You could go 100 miles in other places and not see anything.
Yeah, one of the phrases, like with Illinois tourism, that Illinois on 66 has more mile per mile to see than any other state. And like between Staunton and Springfield, to boot, you have two different distinct alignments.
All right.
On 66. So if somebody wanted, they could start off anywhere on one of the two alignments and travel up to Springfield or down to Staunton, then go up the other alignment to Springfield, then come back down to where they started. That's a good day trip.
Yeah, that would be a great day trip. It's a trip that I should walk sometime. that'd be a tough walk, wouldn't it?
Some people bicycle it.
Yeah.
The only kind of biking I want to do is one that's motorized.
I understand. Like I understand. It's fascinating when you have someone who comes in, these tourists who are traveling. How's their command of the English language, or do they try and communicate with you in their native tongue?
Well, one way or the other, we communicate.
That's
sometimes
good.
It's sign language even, but I'd say 50% of the foreigners, because you got to remember a lot of the countries over there, like the UK,
certainly
they speak English, a little bit different dialect, but no different than the people from down south in the U.S. And most of the countries, the Netherlands, the Scandinavian countries, English is their second language. And I always comment that they speak better English than I do. And they do.
Because I understand that we're learning it education-wise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to also ask, you've got right now not a tremendous number of bunnies, but the ones you have are all kind of unique, and they're, I mean, you got Little Red. Now, what else have you got down there?
Well, we have 11 bunnies total, and just like people, they're all distinct individuals. And we have two other red bunnies, like Little Red here. We have Phoenix, who, miraculously enough, only has one lung.
Really?
Yes, a year and a half ago, he had to have his one lung removed. And he's probably the only bunny in the Midwest, if maybe not the whole U.S., to be hopping around with one lung.
Hopping around with one lung.
Yeah. And then another red bunny is Destiny. He's my snuggle bunny. He spends a lot of time with me in the evening. And then all the bunnies are rescue bunnies now. And they come from the St. Louis chapter, the House Rab Society, which is out of Fenton, Missouri. And a lot of them come into them from confiscations. And back in 2010, our first big red bunny was called Big Red. And he came from a confiscation of 130 bunnies out in St. Clair, Missouri. And then 2.5 years later, the same breeder had another confiscation of 190 bunnies.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It's sad.
Now, and you told me, how much does Big Red weigh? About 22 pounds?
Little Red.
Little Red, I'm sorry?
Yeah. Little Red, probably about 11 pounds.
About 11 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's big. It really,
yeah, for a bunny.
You know, really
most,
is.
Most people, when you think of a bunny, you think of the ones you see around Easter, where they're maybe 4 or 5 pounds. And when we first started out with the family from my daughter, Emily, they were small bunnies. A lot of them only weighed 2 or 3 pounds. The biggest probably weighed 6 pounds. And then when we started to get into the actual rescue animal part with shelters and that, the bigger bunnies people don't want, which is sad. They always go for something that looks cute and personable. Well, they're all personable, but the little ones are cute. So I've always kind of shied toward the, lean to the bigger ones. Because if not, they might spend the rest of their life in a shelter.
I don't know if Little Red would chew on that foam thing or not there.
He might if it starts.
That's Carrie Underwood in Heartbeat. We got a heartbeat of a 11-pound New Zealand red rabbit going in here. And Little Red is not excited. Been very, very good. Hanging in there with us, just no problem at all. Rich, I wanted to ask you one of the most amazing things about what you've got going down there. And I see pictures from your Facebook post. Where did you get those Campbell Six, those Humping to Please trailers at?
Well, one of my family's legacies is trucking.
Okay.
I still have a Class CDA, Class A CDL yet. And since I had the opportunity years back, and with the ground I got the room for it, and I came across our first piece of equipment back in April of 98. I grabbed it, which was a trailer. And then shortly thereafter, I ended up getting a tractor from down in Springfield, Missouri. And then another trailer about a year later over in St. Charles, Missouri. And then our last trailer we got was 3 years ago, last October, out by Six Flags, Missouri. So we're not complacent. So we have a tractor, two 45-foot vans, and a little 26-foot pup trailer, all with Snort and Norton, the humping camel on the side of them.
I just think that's cute as can be. And I remember seeing these up and down the road when I was a kid. But, when did that go under or go by the wayside?
March the 3rd of 1986.
1986.
Yeah, officially.
And that didn't become prime, did it? Or was...
No, the prime...
Totally different.
Nobody actually took Campbell's over.
They never.
Went bankrupt, and 3 years later, They liquidated all the equipment through bankruptcy court.
Okay. Now tell me, tell me about the commemorative postmark from the Litchfield Post Office.
Okay, well, back in 2008, Litchfield used to have an annual Route 66 festival. And hopefully they're listening, and I wish they would start it again.
Oh, yeah.
And back in 2008, besides having their annual festival, Route 66 every year has an event that moves up and down the road. Well, that year, it was coordinated with the Litchfield Festival. So a lot of 66 people came from all over. And we had this bunny rabbit named Montana. And earlier in 2008, about February, we'd launched a presidential campaign for her. Because back in 2008, you had President Obama running for the first time. You had Hillary Clinton running. You had Senator John McCain. So and we always had a pretty good relationship with the Litchfield tourism people. And there was a lady here from Litchfield who has passed away. Her name is Bunny Cease. And she, her husband worked for the post office. And her and me got talking, and she used to come in every once in a while about a commemorative postmark. So she did this graphic work, and she had talked to the Litchfield postmaster at the time, and they thought, yeah, let's do a commemorative postmark for this festival. So not only did they do that, but they were nice enough to use Montana as part of that commemorative postmark for Litchfield. So it kind of drew Montana, Henry's Rabbit Ranch, in with the festival. And we were able to get some things postmarked with the stamp from 2008.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Now, you've got down there not only the things outside, you've got your gift shop on the inside. You got people who come by all the time. Do you... Is this a year-round? Does tourism ever stop on Route 66?
No, it doesn't. And since I'm there year-round doing my regular business, we'll have people coming in December and January. Not the numbers, like right now starting to pick up. And then in June, July, August, and even September, that's the four big tourist seasons. And we will have some days, nothing like with the Litchfield Museum and the Ariston has, but we will have sometimes 20, 25 cars a day coming in.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome. And you get to see some really cool cars too, don't you?
We do. Some people bring their classic cars. In fact, some of the foreigners that have American cars back home, they will have them shipped over here at a great expense and drive them from Chicago to California. And while I'm thinking of that, 95% of the travelers go east to west because of the way things are set up and written. And that was the movement of 66.
Oh, certainly, certainly.
You know, back in the 40s and 50s and that.
Well, our friend and friend of the show, Ron Warnick, was talking about Merle Haggard.
Of course,
Merle, you know, and his family, they were part of that Okie generation.
That Okie movement.
Made the move out there. You know, I cannot, as many of all the times that I have seen John Steinbeck's movie, you know, the movie with Henry Fonda, The Grapes of Wrath, I cannot fathom what that Dust Bowl situation must have been like.
It had to be terrible because here a couple of years ago on PBS TV, they did a series for about a week.
I remember that.
And my gosh, I mean, it had to be horrific to put up under those conditions.
And you know, obviously then there were no crops. There was no no moisture, no rain, no crops.
Yeah.
So the banks foreclosed. And, I mean, when they showed the bulldozers pushing the houses down in the movie, then in the documentary they were showing the bulldozers pushing the houses down.
The original film.
I know. And that those scenes, you know, it is hard to fathom. But something great came out of it, and what came out of it was the absolute growth of the West Coast. And I mean, to be now the agricultural giant worldwide that the West Coast is.
Yeah.
And it wasn't California farmers. It was Oklahoma and Kansas and New Mexico and all those farmers who went out west. Yeah. And they did what they knew how to do.
You know, and very, I mean, the majority of people that started out with the idea of getting to California never made it, the majority. And what happened is wherever they broke down, that's where they settled. And their families from generations after are there in that same area today.
That's true.
Yeah.
We're going to come back and talk more with Rich Henry in just a few moments. Trying to get Little Red to say something. We haven't had any luck yet, but we have got pictures. Honestly, he's here, and we'll have him up on Facebook by the evening. Got Rich Henry on the radio with us today. We're talking about Little Red, talking about one of 11 rabbits down there. Some that have gone in the past, some that have run for president, some that have been, my goodness gracious. Did you happen to see on, I guess it was CBS this morning a couple of weeks ago, about the rabbit breeders in the show?
Yeah, somebody forwarded that to me.
Fascinating, fascinating show. And I was amazed that there were a number of breeds that there are.
Oh, yeah. The American Rabbit Breeders Association recognizes 46.
46?
46 breeds.
And I saw that.
They're very, particular.
The floppy-eared ones, the giants, and, it's just incredible. Now, let me ask you, when people come in, and obviously you've got the rabbits on display.
Exactly.
And like you say, he's out on the counter whatever. They have to create a great deal of conversation, don't they?
Well, even before the people come in, what we have found out, a third of our people coming in now are not Route 66 travelers.
Oh, okay.
The bunnies have made our place a stop for people that are just interested in seeing the bunnies.
Seeing the bunnies, okay.
Yeah, little kids and that. And, I would say with the rabbits, it has really made our attraction quite quirky. And we wanted, when people would read about it, to have the interest to want to see what it's all about. And then if they once did come and see it, that maybe 30, 40 years from now, they would remember it. Maybe they are a 10-year-old kid coming in. And because I can remember some things when I was young that still stand out. And that maybe 30 years from now, this 10-year-old kid will say to his family, yeah, when I was 10 years old, we went into this place and there's rabbits all around. Yeah.
It's funny. You know, we remember stories of years ago, you'd go into the Indian trading post, and there's rocks and there's leather moccasins, and all this kind of stuff.
Moccasins.
And now you've got something that is, it's an emporium. It's a curio place, and you got all these knickknacks, but you got rabbits too.
Well, our biggest bunny is 8 feet tall.
8 feet tall.
Yeah, okay. But he's pretty well situated. We got him strapped down because if you ever come down and visit, you can actually walk up and sit on him.
Oh, okay.
And before we had him strapped down the first time or two, he tried to hop off with people on him. So we had to learn to strap him down. So that's another thing. And then like all the little predecessors of Little Red here and others, we have a little resting place for him. Like a little pet cemetery. And you were talking about Ron Warnick earlier. Well, his wife, Emily, not my daughter, but a different lady, this spring she's going to put a mural on the side of our building where this little resting area is. And we're going to make it into a little memorial park. We're going to call it the Tale of Ears.
The Tale of Ears.
Yeah.
No Trail of Tears.
No Trail
of Tears.
The Tale of Ears. Tale of Ears. Yeah.
That's awesome. I was just going to ask you about what the mural was going to depict. That's terrific.
Yeah. And basically, what it's going to really depict is the Rainbow Bridge. I don't know if you ever heard of the Rainbow Bridge with animals.
Right.
And she's pretty well did an artist conception of it, where it'll have this one area on the one side of the bridge, and the bridge will be going over to the other side, which is depicting heaven. Now, in the area opposite there, will be out this luscious green fields, water, and all these animals, not only bunnies, and they'll be waiting for somebody to come and take them across the bridge.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, let me ask you, in the minute that we've got left, with all the people that you've come, can you tell me in a minute the most interesting visitor you've had to the ranch?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, I can't.
They all got a story to tell.
They all do. And people say, have you ever had anybody famous? Well, them kind of people don't interest me. We like just the people.
Yeah.
And they do have their own stories.
I can understand that. And when it comes down to that, big families, one person,
a little of everything. It can be a single person, can be a couple, can be a mom and dad. It can be siblings in their 60s and 70s doing something together.
Rich Henry, it's been great to have you here. We'll do this again after this summer's interesting stuff, okay?
My pleasure.
Thanks. Come back again.